got to invite Craig.
Bye, YouTube.
I need to set, there's a way that I can set up Craig so that every time I'm in Discord, it automatically starts recording for me. Because I almost forgot that I needed to record Discord for the after show. It's like, we would have just been talking and it would be like, oh, fuck, wait, there's no, you know, because Adam, level 13 is just the definition of podcast gold. People love level 13, Adam.
The other thing you could do is just hit the record button twice on your mixer.
All right, but here's the difference.
And it would start a new file.
Yes, a file. And you know as well as I do that that is a 48-bit unencrypted wave recording of multi-track of, 16 tracks. So yeah. It's a 1.2 gig per 10 minutes of recording or something like that. So that file just takes forever to load over and to edit and stuff like that. When I record with Craig, he gives me a FLAC file that's just a single, you know, a single double channel and a stereo FLAC file that I can just clip. And, you know, and it's way faster. It's just, it's a much easier workflow.
That reminds me of like an old grandma. Now, son, don't give me no flack.
Don't give me no flack. One of the things that I put on here, this is probably so fucking boring to everyone. And I apologize for this, but I found this so fucking interesting today. So my brother, called me yesterday, and of course I haven't heard from him in months, so I'm like, oh, he wants something, like something's broken, like some, you know, piece of machinery, is some computer thing that he needs. I answer it, and he's just like, hey, we, you know, our router died at the office, and
Did you turn it off and turn it back on again?
excuse me. He's like, no, the fiber people came out, you know, the internet people came out and, you know, checked everything, tested everything. And they were just like, no, it's the router, which is, you know, their router. So it was, you know, directly connecting to the fiber modem was working and, you know, direct, you know, everything else was working. It was the router. The router was the problem. You know, it's a TP-Link router, and we had some big storms that rolled through on Wednesday night, and they have really wonky electricity shit in that neighborhood. So it's like, I could see it being a surge or something. It's plugged into a UPS, but like the Ethernet that comes from the fiber isn't shielded in any way. Right. So it's like, it could have been a surge. Those TP-Link routers are super cheap, and you know, they're not exactly robust, right? They're very flimsy. They can break, right? It's rare, but they can break. So the problem here, Adam, this is the problem, and the reason that they can't just, you know, buy a new TP-Link router, have it shipped with Amazon overnight, and just plug it in and have it work. And the reason that he was calling me is because they have a non-standard network set up in their office. Their office, when it was set up, was set up on a Class A network, right? So 10.10.10. Whatever. So it was just the, you know, it was the final octet of a Class A network. 10. Most modern
recording stopped.
Most modern standards have people using Class C instead of Class A. So in that case, 192.168, right? So like the 192.168, you know, either .0.1, which any of those are Class C, which is, you know, means that only the last pieces of them are protected. So the problem is, and it's super easy. It's super easy on a router to just say, hey, your IP address is 10.10.10.101, right? But it doesn't come out of the box that way. So the problem comes that in order to program the router, you have to talk to the router, but the router defaults to 192.168.0, and you're sitting in a universe where everything is 10.10.10. something, right? So you can't, there's no route to get to the 192.168.
I feel like I'm in a networking course.
Right. So this is why it's a problem. And the solution to it, Adam, the solution to this problem is you take some hardware device that's not on the network, like a laptop or something, and you just plug it directly into the router. You then use it to program the router, set the new IP address, and then you can plug in everything else. So that's, you know, something that's easy, doesn't take that long, is super easy to do, provided that you're there. In this case, my brother wanted me to walk him through it on the phone. So to walk him through, you know, setting it up on the phone. And he had overnighted the exact same model router to be there. And so today that happened. Today he got his router and he called me. And so I'm like, all right, well, you know, he's like, well, I have the new router. It's out of the box. The old router is still plugged in. Everything is, you know, as it was, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, okay, so I need you to plug in the new router, take the Ethernet coming from the fiber modem, plug it into the router, and then plug your laptop into that router. And he did that. And so he gets over to his computer and I'm like, okay, so just type in, you know, open Chrome and just type in 192.168.0.1. And he's like, okay, it's not doing anything. And I'm like, well, that's weird. And he's like, there's no internet or anything like that. So then we check the lights on the router, make sure that it's got internet, you know, check, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like, all right, so open a command prompt, you know, do IP config, tell me what your IP address is, what your default gateway is. And his IP address was 10.10.10.124. And I'm like, why would a router out of the box give you a 10.10.10 IP address that's weird on your network? Like, why that's so? Then I'm thinking, all right, maybe your laptop isn't set to automatically obtain an IP address. Maybe it's you've set your laptop to be hard coded to 10.10.10.124 to have it work on your network. I don't know.
Okay.
So I had him go into the Ethernet card settings and check that. No, it's a dynamic address, right? So it's the way that it works. I know this is so boring to everybody, but I find this
Tony,
so
I
fucking
hope the drive to work
I find
is...
this fascinating, Adam.
I hope your drive to work is great.
So I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what the fuck. What the fuck? So I'm like, all right. Just plug the fiber modem, just plug it directly into your laptop. Just, you know, plug it into your laptop and had him run some reset stuff so that the laptop requested a new IP address. And it's like, so I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm explaining to him, it's like, all right, so when you type, you know, IP config this time and tell me what your IP address is, I'm expecting it to be a public IP address, like a, you know, a public IP address on the internet, because, you know, you're, that's what the router would have gotten. And you're now, you know, the single device connected to this IP address. And, that is what I'm expecting. And if I see something else, then I'm not going to know what the fuck is going on. And so he's like going, oh, it says my IP address is 192.168.0.1.
That's right.
No, that's what the fiber modem is telling him that its IP address is 192.168.0.1, which is what you would expect, you know, your IP address to be if you were connected to a router, right? You would expect it to be 198.168, whatever. But this, I was expecting it to be something completely random, like an actual, like, legitimate IP address. Like, right now, if you were to, in your command line, if you were to type IP config, you would see at the very bottom, you would have your ultimate IP address of your router, which in my case is 172.18.160.1. That's a valid, that is just an address on the internet, right? That is a, and that is what my router is, an address on the internet. You know, there's a ton of shit connected to my router, right? And they all have different local IP addresses and everything. But here's the thing, Adam. So I'm confused what's going on.
Okay.
Until, and I know this story has gone on for so long, and God bless you for listening to this story, Tony. I'm so sorry.
We just lost Kathy Marshall. I'm gone. She's having like,
flashbacks.
I'm out of here.
She's having flashbacks.
I can't deal with it.
And so I hear this crucial piece of information is that the fiber modem is in the back of the office, and where their router is, and the thing that connects to the hub that connects to all the rest of the machines on the network is in this front room, right? So there's just a single Ethernet cable coming from the back of the office. So when he, you know, went to go recycle the fiber modem at one point in time, he had to go all the way back to the back of the office and do that. Uh-huh. And so he tells, he's like, yeah, I was back there the other day when the technician was out here. And I was like, well, our office has rental space in it, and there's another doctor that rents a piece in the back, and his internet stuff was all working. And so Les was like, well, how is his internet stuff all working? It's coming off the same fiber that ours is. And he's like, oh, no, each account, you can have up to 8 different accounts off this router, off this modem. Each one is segregated from the rest. So they're all individual, accounts. And I'm like going, oh, so that's why it was 192.168.0.1 is because it's NATed back at their company. So in order for them to get, so they're doing a single fiber connection down to this, this fiber modem with 8 channels on it. And each one of those 8 channels has a NAT back at the cable company that can, you know, that's what they do to activate it. Like any of those channels that are activated gets a NAT router back there. So it's like, oh, that's really cool. So that's like a double NATed situation. So like as far as his internal network is concerned, his public IP address is 192.168.0.1, which is so stupid for me to find amusing or anything, because it's just a bunch of numbers that don't mean anything to anybody, but is really cool to me.
Well, there you go.
Because this is why, Adam, this is why it's so cool, is do you know how many internet addresses were possible? Like the numbering scheme of the internet, 4 numbers between 0 and 255. I mean, between 1 and 255. Between 0 and 255. Do you know how many combinations of those there are? So roughly 4.2 billion. So 4.2 billion possible combinations of those. And let's just say that some of them are reserved, right? And so we'll take out some of them. Let's just say 4 billion. Let's just round it. Just 4 billion. Let's just say 4 billion. 4 billion. So 4 billion addresses. So what happened is that we were reaching this point with more and more people coming on the internet worldwide, plus IoD things, internet devices, right? Internet devices that get their own IP address also. We were in a situation where they were like, oh shit, we're going to run out of IP addresses. Like, then what the fuck do we do? So
that's why IPv6.
Yes. So they all got together. They all got together and they're like, we're going to make a new foolproof, you know, future-proof, better system. It's going to be called IPv V6, version 6. And it can support like 3,000 to 10 to the 38th power numbers, right?
How's that drive now? How's the drive going? You doing good? You still awake?
But IPv6 is not easy to read. It's like just a chain of letters and numbers. It's very, you know, it assaults your eyes when you look at it. And when you're used to, like everyone, just seeing a series of, oh, 192.168.0.1 or 10.10.10.1. Like it's an easier thing. You understand what's going on by looking at it there. And IPv6 is not. So it was not, a lot of people were like, oh, I don't want to, that seems like a lot of work. So what happened is they invented NAT. So I don't know who, I guess I could Google it, but I haven't. But whoever invented this.
Cosmos or whatever his name is, couldn't Kronos or whatever his name is, couldn't tell you.
I feel like we have gone through it on this machine before where we have established that the only one that connects to my thing is Copilot. Let's see if we can get this through Slack. Hey,
Dan.
Yeah, I want to know who invented network address translation.
Network address translation, or NAT, wasn't invented by a single person. It's a method that evolved over time, primarily driven by the need to conserve IP addresses due to IPv4 address exhaustion.
Correct. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's fine. I'm done. So this standard, NAT, God bless them, someone thought to put it on a router, and they were just like, oh. So what NAT does is it basically just takes up a single IP address, but can serve up to 4.2 billion people itself, right? So every single NAT router that's out there has behind it about 4 billion available IP addresses. That they can assign to different devices and everything. So it effectively wiped out any need to ever run out of IP addresses. However, IPv6 is still chugging along. And in fact, the United States has mandates to have 80% of the infrastructure on IPv6 by 2026. So it's like, they're still pushing IPv6. And I don't know what the true benefit is at this point in time. And it feels to me like this is just a waste of energy and time and whatnot. It's very frustrating, Adam. But I found all of that today while trying to help my brother get his NAT router started. And if Tony in Illinois hasn't crashed his car by this point by falling asleep, Now, so I did want to talk about Tony from Illinois.
Well, before we talk about Tony.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about, I found something that I find very relaxing.
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
That I like to, you know, when I'm going to bed at night or whatever. And I know you really don't like game shows.
That's not true.
Or you don't like a lot of game shows that are overproduced.
Yes.
So I found, like I'll play a little bit of
this.
This
is the comedy star of television, motion pictures, and the Broadway stage, fabulous Lucille Ball.
Oh. Is this like Truth or Consequences or what's going on?
This is the talented comedian and star of supper clubs in television, Gary Morton. Tonight, it's Lucille Ball, Gary Morton, and some very special guests on Password.
Password. Oh, yeah.
And it's very...
Oh, here's your host.
There's just a simple little stage.
Yeah.
Black and white.
Yeah,
although,
no.
you don't like black and white.
I don't. But you know what? It is... I totally understand. I have been known... to fall down like a match game hole every so often. Like, I'll watch old 1972 episodes of Match Game with like Charles Nelson Reilly and, Richard Dawson and stuff. And, you know what? I mean, they hold up, right? They're stupid dad jokes that don't really have, you know, it's like other than the funny clothing and the stupid, you know, blurry pictures and the technology and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the jokes hold up mostly. It's like, it's the funny things are still funny. And, uh, I, I understand that. I completely understand that. I think I've explained to you before, though, the things that I choose to listen to when I go to sleep have to fit a very specific set of criteria. Like there can't be a wild variation in sound between like the different, like one comes in really loud and one of them, like, so if there was a podcast that was too quiet or too loud consistently, then it can't go, because as soon as that one comes on, I'm going to wake up. Right. It's like, exactly. Right. And it can't be, I tend to shy away from a lot of live things because applause tends to come across way louder than the other things. Cause it almost sounds like static, and it's a weird thing also. Also, I don't want it to be too interesting or else I won't fall asleep. I'll be wrapped up in listening to the thing that's on. Right. So it can't be too interesting. And so that primarily leaves political podcasts. So I, you know, subscribe to The Bulwark. I all the MSNBC shows are available as podcasts. So that's primarily what I listen to is the MSNBC podcast and The Bulwark podcast at night when I sleep. So that's the thing. I do because of, you know, people going on vacations. So I do have in that mix some This Week in Tech shows, like This Week in Tech and Windows Weekly. I.e. two of the shows that I would never listen to otherwise, because I find them to be not that interesting. So that fits the criteria of not being too interesting to keep me awake.
I just, whatever on YouTube, but just for whatever reason, YouTube was like, hey, we're going to recommend Password to Adam. And I was like, oh, this is cool.
So, you said, thanks, YouTube.
Thanks, YouTube.
Gee willigers, YouTube, thanks.
Golly gee.
Golly. I know that I've talked about this on numerous episodes now.
Yeah.
But they just wrapped up the 4-episode Overture arc on Critical Role. And holy fuck, it was, oh. The fourth episode, one of the main character, one of the player characters dies. And I was genuinely like choked up about it. It was like, it was emotional. It's a very good show. It's a very good show. Hello.
Oh,
there's Zach. There's Adam. There is waving going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's not like you can hear me, so.
That's true. Yeah, you can't hear. I wore my Pluto sweater, though, because I went to Wawa to get iNews. So I.
You went to Wawa to get Wawa?
I went Wawa to get some high noons. But I got this new Pluto sweater the other day, and it's like a cardigan. It's really cool. It's very comfortable. It's like I can definitely see myself wearing that. And then, like a bastard Loungefly released a cardigan, a Pluto cardigan. Look at this. I'm putting it in the chat right now. Look at that. That is a cute little Pluto.
Oh, that is ugly.
That is so, it's got the patches. It's got the little elbow patches, the little faux elbow patches. It's a faux cardigan. It's so
maybe
cute.
If you were 80.
It is so cute. And, but I can't, they want like $80 for it. And it's like, the one that I got because Zach gets a 40% cast discount was much less than 80. But then they came out with a Roosevelt shirt that is a button down Pluto shirt. And so I had to get that. And it's like, it's Pluto's 95th birthday this year. So it's like, I've been getting a bit of Pluto merchandise. So I'm very, very excited because it's not often that you get Pluto merchandise. And as you know, he is my favorite. Where's the Trello? There's the Trello. So this is what I wanted to I talked about that. Oh, I wanted to talk about Tony from Illinois. That's why I went. So Tony from Illinois, who apparently has some issues with how we schedule our shows. Doesn't want level 13 on Friday. No, doesn't want it on Friday. He wants level 13 on Thursday. Now, I had set the schedule for when the episodes were released because, as you'll recall, in the before times, I would often go months without posting after shows. The after shows were months behind the live
months
shows.
Months and months, yeah.
All those good old days. And but now, thanks to Google Tasks, because I have a task reminder set up to every week to like make sure that I post the after show for Thursday, for Friday morning delivery. And I post, have a reminder to post the main show on Mondays, so that it's out for Tuesday morning delivery. All those things. So I have been quite consistent of getting the after show posted. And now that I've switched over to the Discord recording, it's actually a much faster process because I just download a file, clip it and post it. My point is that it's not a big deal. So I've decided, because you're so angry about the Friday.
Because he's the one.
And you're the one person that listens to
Level 13.
We will publish Level 13 on Thursdays now.
Oh, look at that.
So that means you get Geeky Gay on Monday, the Gay Mix on Tuesday.
Which could squeeze Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, because the Gay Mix is pretty... Well, remember, he has like an hour and 40 a day, right? Doesn't he have like 42 minutes each way or something?
40 minutes each way, yeah. I guess. So an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. So he doesn't have anything for Wednesday. And then now for Thursday, he'll have Lever 13. Lever 13? Yeah, Lever 13.
Which is... No.
Yeah.
A good 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Good 10, 15. Don't! I know that I had suggested listening to Necessary Conversations.
Oh, I forgot that you...
I can't. It's like I've listened to two episodes now, and what used to be like, ha, 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 aren't they crazy, is now just like, there's no possible way these are real people. Like, that, how brain... This is not, these are actors.
Oh, yeah. These that was have the one to be where, actors. That was the one where the parent...
Yeah, the parents are MAGA.
Is like MAGA, whatever, yeah. And the kid is trying to...
Yep, the kids, kids. Yeah, it's just... Yeah, don't watch that. Anyway, so Thursday, moving back. Hey, but if you need something for your long ride, Tony... I know Adam's going to make fun of me for this.
Might I suggest Critical Role?
Might I suggest Critical Role, which is, by the way, available as an audio podcast. So you could start listening to this new campaign 4, and you would be... Each episode is like 4.5 hours. So you've got plenty of time, and it's really fucking good. So...
I don't know. Do you listen to Big Fatty? Because that's a 5-day-a-week show.
But it's just 20 minutes.
Little Fatty Cast is once a week.
It's once a week, thank God. Yeah.
Comes out on a Monday, I think.
Yeah. Pod is My Co-Pilot comes out every week, or pretty much every week. I would say as consistent as us on, coming out pretty much every, they usually post on Tuesdays. Like, it usually is the same day we post. Let's see. Those are some choices, enormous, but I think they only do like one show a month.
Also, I heard today, this is how caught up I am. Yeah. Fatty is going to start doing a 6th show a week.
Yeah.
That's going to be a recap
of
starting with week 1.
Oh.
Like starting all the way back at week 1 Fatty. All the way back. So each week you're going to get one episode on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the recap of the first, second, third, fourth, et cetera.
Which is that's like 10 years week. Ago. That's like 10 fucking years ago.
I was trying to think, how many weeks would that be? Because
10 years? I don't know.
Well, in 10 years, there are 52 weeks in a year, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So 520?
Yes, that sounds correct.
So if he does one episode a week, and it's one episode per week,
yeah,
that's 520 weeks.
Yes.
He would have to do this for...
another 10 years. And then he would have 10 years worth of additional stuff to...
So he'll never catch up.
Yeah, it'll always be 10 years behind. Let's see... What is he on? He's on 4625. So 4625 divided by 5 should give us the number of...
Kind of. The first week was 6 days, but yeah.
Okay, but still. So, well, I'm just trying to figure out, like, so 4625. Yeah, if we just... These are all estimates, right? So if we just divide it by 5, there's 5 shows a week, right? So that should tell us that there's been 925 weeks of Big Fatty online.
Wow.
So 925 divided by 52 is 17.7. That can't be right. He can't have done this show for 17 fucking years. His very first episode was January of 2008. How long ago was that?
Almost 20 years ago.
Oh, it's 17.7 years. How long ago was 2008?
2008 was 17 years ago from now.
Wow. Quite a bit. Thanks. That's amazing. That's so 17.7. Yeah. So 17 years. And he's going to, for the next 10 years, you'll get recaps of the last 10 years. So the recap for this past week won't be out for 10 years from now.
See, what I want is to be able to train it on my voice.
Yeah.
Train it on my show.
Yeah.
And just have it make the show for me.
I did this thing. I'm going to do it now. I love Notebook LM.
I do. Yeah.
And I'm sure I talked about this on the show. I'm almost positive I talked about this on the show. But the Critical Role stuff's come out on YouTube, and they're professionally captioned, so they have really good captions. So when you throw them in the Notebook LM, it's essentially like having a perfect transcript to, you know, every episode into your Notebook LM. So now I can ask questions about this campaign. And it's just so good at doing it. Like, I told it the other day, I was just like, pretend, let's see. You are... And we're going to pick one of the characters that he is. It's going to be Teor Pride something. No. You know what? Okay. You are Wickhander Halivar. That's a character, right? I have run into you at a tavern. Tell me about yourself. As you would explain your backstory to a stranger. Right. So it's just like, I really want to understand this character. Like, so just give me, like, I ran into this character in a tavern, like, you know,
okay.
Tell me, you know, you heard what I said. And it's just like, you know, Yeah, he's like, I'm Lord Wickander Halivar, though you can call me Wick. I've been called Your Radiance, Bearer of the Filament, but those titles seem less meaningful now. I apologize if I seem disheveled. I've had a very bad day. And my entire life, I've recently discovered, has been built upon a string of delusions and manipulations. It's really good. And when you know the voices of the characters and everything, you can easily picture, you know, the character like having this conversation with you. And it's really cool because it's really good at not just giving you the facts about the character, but also you can, you know, see where it is embellishing things, because I told it to, you know, wait, explain it as you would tell it. And you're going to gloss over things when you're talking to a stranger and whatnot. And you can also, you know, like, I'm your long lost cousin and, you know, you trust me implicitly. Like, what would you tell me that you wouldn't tell anyone else? Like, you can ask all those kind of cool questions. And it's captivating because it's like, but it's really cool. Cause I'll read some online article about campaign 4 and, you know, this character or that character's motivations. And then I'll go to the notebook and I'll say, you know, some people think that your motivation might've been this, what do you think of that? You know, and sometimes it'll be like, yeah, that makes sense, you know, because of this event and that event. And somebody's, no, because this event would have prevented that from happening and I would never do it. It's like, it's really cool. I'm very, for a free tool, Notebook LM is now capable of making Big Fatty's sixth show every week.
Yep.
Giving me excruciatingly detailed backstories of a fictional D&D campaign or fictional characters in a D&D campaign. It recaps my D&D games that I play, like the live D&D games that I play, get recapped by Notebook LM. It's like, it's really quite amazing, the things that it does.
Yeah.
It's my go-to tool a lot of times. It's just, you know, can I throw it in Notebook LM and, you know, deal with it that way. However, are you familiar with Network Chuck?
Yes. Is he the guy that may be Mormon?
Yeah, and possibly. Is very into coffee. But that's the weird thing, but Mormons are against coffee, though.
Yeah, they're against coffee, but he rubs me as Mormon.
He definitely is religious because he often talks about his church. Like, you know, I set this up for my church, or, you know, but I mean, he doesn't talk about Jesus, but he does.
I'm aware of him. I've watched his videos.
Right. So he's been on this kick lately about the terminal mode. Have you used any of your LLMs in terminal mode?
No.
So I'm going to copy this link and I'm going to post it in the, where can I post it where you would be able to bookmark it for later consumption? In Discord?
Oh, I can copy it and then put it in.
Yeah. This is watch this. Yeah, watch this video. It's too long for us to play here because it's like 33 minutes. But it's like, oh, that's super fucking cool. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
If you're still using AI in the browser, you're doing...
Yeah. And it's...
No, he just posted it 3 days ago.
Yeah. And it's really... He makes some very compelling use cases for using these, you know, the terminal modes for like Claude and for Gemini. And it was like, oh, that's like, I made sure that the WSL was loaded with Ubuntu on my work laptop and, you know, so that I can do the terminal mode stuff from over there. So this is my last day of freedom was today, Adam. Starting tomorrow, our network at work is not allowing non-company run computers from accessing the network.
So you're going to have to use the company computer.
So I'll have to use my company laptop, which is over here, which I went and bought a KVM so that I can, you know, switch between my laptop and my gaming machine and just keep the same keyboard and stuff.
That's what I do.
Yeah. But I thought today, because I was reading their emails more closely, and they were like non-managed company devices or whatever. And so I was like, so I had my one-on-one with my new boss today, and I was talking to him, and I was like, so who would I talk to? Because I really, because the things that I do, I need more horsepower than our laptops have. And it's, you know, I have this big machine here. It's stupid for me not to use it. And, you know, it's, and I don't, you know, all of the stuff for my, for the company is in a VM. Like I have a VM that runs, it has all the company software loaded on it and everything. So it's not on my main machine. It's on a VM that runs on my main machine. And then I just full screen the VM and that's my, my work environment. Right. And it's great. It's perfect. Cause I get the horsepower of this big machine, but I'm, you know, playing by their stupid rules. And so I was like, okay, I'm perfectly willing for them to manage that. If they want to, you know, put it as part of the GDPR, you know, if they want to hook it to the global policies and, you know, do restrictions on things in the VB, you know, in the VM, the same restrictions that I would have on my laptop against like copying, pasting and stuff like that. Is they want to, you know, and plugging in a USB device, whatever. It's like, yeah, great. Go for it. It's like, I, you know, I, as long as I get to use the machine that doesn't feel like I'm, you know, walking through molasses, then yeah, fine. You can manage whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. But I have to like now convince someone. So in my new position, I'm once removed from the CEO. So it's like, it's my boss and then the CEO. That's my, so the, my, if I had, if we did skip levels or whatever, my skip level would be with the CEO. But the, so I, in the one, he was like, yeah, just, you know, just copy me on it. And if they give you any problems, then I'll step in. So it's like, all right, cool. So.
Well, there, my company would never like you, the, there's no, it's all managed, you know, you can't do any kind of custom stuff like that.
I mean, I could, it would be another route, but it's like, I could have them reclassify my job as dev. Cause right now, because my job title is not developer, the hardware that I have access to is not the same. Like if I was a developer, I could, I would have access to a beefier laptop.
Yeah.
But because I'm business analyst, I have, you know, what I have, which I didn't really care about because I never used it. So it's like, you know, I only used it when I was traveling and stuff like that. So anyway, so we'll see. We'll see what happens on Monday.
We'll see.
When I try to, well, I guess it's supposed to happen on the 1st. It's supposed to, so it should be active now. I guess I could try to connect now and see if I've been booted off.
It's the 31st. Right now.
No, it's midnight. We're an East Coast company, so it's midnight. Let's see. I'm still able to get into Outlook on my other, I'm using the web version. I don't know that they're going to be able to, like, what are they thinking of doing? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I can run, I run Outlook in the web. Are they somehow thinking that they're going to have it so that you can't run Outlook in the web unless you're on a company laptop?
Yeah.
Are they going to whitelist IP addresses or stuff for the web?
I mean, I don't know how it's done, but yeah, that's what they're talking about. Microsoft basically just won't let you log into your.
Yeah. But it's just that, yeah, it's just going to be weird. But hey, that's fine. Whatever.
Anyway.
They're going for this whole high trust certification thing, which, you know, is like, has like this whole step of, it's an acronym, HIT, you know, HI trust. I don't know what the acronym stands for, but I'm sure it's very clever. Oh, I know. Let's ask. Oh, something went wrong. Please try again later.
Welcome back, Daniel.
Hey, we were talking about the acronym HITRUST, H-I-TRUST. What does that stand for?
HITRUST stands for Health Information Trust Alliance. It's a cybersecurity framework that helps organizations manage and protect sensitive information, especially in the healthcare industry. It's designed to unify various security requirements and provide a consistent approach to compliance.
Yeah, so that's what they're going for, that certification, which means that Like if we have, we can still run Teams and Outlook and stuff on our phones, but only if we are enrolled in the, you know, the management system.
The MDM.
Yeah, the it's Intune or whatever. It's the whole management thing so that they can go, and they only control those, but it means that then your phone has to have a 6-character password. It can't have a 4-digit PIN. It's got to have a 6-digit PIN, and it's got to have encryption and stuff like that. And
yep, that's what I have to deal with.
Yeah,
at least on Android, I can turn the work profile off and on. I don't know if you can do that on iPhone or not. But I only turn on the work profile during work hours, and then I turn it off.
I mean, I don't.
Outside of.
I have an Android. Hours. I'm not an iPhone, so.
Yeah.
I don't do iPhones. I feel like that was, especially today. I mean, I'm sure Scotty, maybe that's why Scotty hates AI so much, is because Apple is just so bad at it. But I feel like, yeah, the Android phones are killing it right now. It's like there's not a day that I don't hold down my power button and ask Gemini something just off the cuff. And, you know, while I'm walking around, it's like, I probably talk more with Gemini than I have with any other system. And the only reason I'm not talking to Gemini on my machine is because I don't know why it won't talk to me over my Mac. Let's try it again. This is Gemini here. Let me see if it, hey, I'm, oh, check your, yeah, your audio couldn't be heard. Open your computer setting. And check your audio input. It's like, why? Why can't you hear my mic? Everybody else can hear my microphone. Why can't you? Because you're in a fucking browser. That's why. Open Chrome settings. Is there an audio for Chrome? I thought that was just...
No, it's just it uses the default.
Default audio device. This is fun. If Tony in Illinois loved that earlier part, he's going to love this.
Now,
this is even better.
Even better. Even Daniel figures out how to talk to Gemini live on air.
Mm-hmm. And you're just like, what? What? I never knew that. He's probably trying to take notes. He's like, I have this exact same problem.
I need a drink. Okay. I'll be back.
Well, you should probably go somewhere to get that. Like, you probably should. Why does Zoom meetings have 3 different volumes? All right, never mind. I am looking for here. Oh, the input device is the micro. Yeah. The Rodecaster 2 Pro main multi. Yes, that. That is the system input device. The system output device is the. Yep, that is correct as well. So, why are you. Why are you so adamant that you can't talk to me? Yeah, that is the correct input and output, sir. I think what it is, I think Zoom doesn't share it. I think Zoom hogs it or something. Or maybe Chrome wants more access than it can.
So what I have to do for Alice is I say what I'm going to say and then I hit the mute button, because when she starts to try to talk, if she can hear herself, she gets confused. So I have to hit the mute button.
Yeah, they all do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Check your microphone. What? It's the right microphone, you ass. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But, well, anyway, Network Chuck, watch this terminal thing if you get a chance, because I'm telling you, I feel like he's making a lot of really good points.
Watch Password with Lucille Ball.
Oh, I will. I will. Yeah. So I guess one more thing. I got really busy. And was obviously busy with the marathon or the half marathon and stuff. And just, you know, different events going on. And it's a thing. It's marathon weekend. You know, it's a weekend of events. So it's a lot of things going on. Anyway, my point is I got behind. on Fatty's show. And we're going to have to wait 10 years now for the recap to find out what he thought of The Wizard of Oz. Because I heard him, you know, talking about his Vegas trip.
You know, I don't even remember. I don't even know if he's finished the story of that trip. Because I feel like...
Is Gary awake? If Gary's awake, Gary would know this.
I feel like we have not gotten the full story yet. I feel like he's dragging it out.
Oh, he's dragging it. But it's been a while now. You can't drag it out that long, can you?
Somebody, Kathy Marshall is typing.
Oh, Kathy Marshall. Yeah, I mean, there's...
Oh, she said it's pretty much done now. Yeah. I guess I don't pay enough attention
to
his
show. So did
he
like it or not? Was he like blown away by it, or was he just like, meh?
He went back second day.
All right.
I believe. Yeah, he said they went back and sat in a different section the next day.
I'm going to tell you. Peanut butter pretzels were already like one of my favorite snacks. But the Reese's peanut butter pretzels, so good.
Chocolate?
No, but just that sweeter Reese's.
So what makes them Reese's?
Just it's the Reese's, butter? Yeah, the Reese's peanut butter. So it's a sweeter peanut butter. It's like a sweeter peanut butter in the pretzel. They're so good.
So good.
I mean, it's after midnight, so it's cheat day. So I can eat that. So I'm gonna go.
When I visited, you had a big plastic
tub of it. Yeah.
Barrel.
Yeah.
Of those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I recall.
I did. I bought them so that in case you wanted some.
Oh.
The no, I mean they that's just a style that they sell. I used to like those. But then the Reese's came out. The Reese's are great, so I mean, I still like the other ones, but
the Reese's look like they would be more expensive per.
Oh yeah, weight, yeah, probably, yeah.
You know, or whatever, because they're in smaller bags and it's branded. Whereas those other ones were more of like a generic.
It wasn't generic, sort of Anderson thing. Or something like that. But yeah, they're a pretzel maker, reputable pretzel maker. The Publix brand is the other one that
well, you only want to get your pretzels with peanut butters from reputable.
Right, from reputable places. Yeah, reputable places. Sources.
Yep.
I think I was going to say something and then I completely blanked. So I think we're done.
I think that's the sign.
Yeah.
I think you saw the sign.
I saw the sign. Yeah, I got to decide whether I want to go see this Wizard of Oz thing. I'm leaning towards no, but I always lean towards no.
Well, I can't tell you. Do you like The Wizard of Oz?
I don't know anything about The Wizard. I mean, I know a little bit about it.
Have you seen the Wizard of Oz?
I saw it when I was a child.
Well, you should probably watch The Wizard of Oz and then decide, would I enjoy seeing this on a much larger scale? Because if you hate the movie...
Mm-hmm.
Then that's probably not the thing to see at the Sphere.
Yeah, I know.
There are going to be many, many more things at the Sphere. So I would watch the movie first and then decide.
But I just read, why does Kathy Marshall have a storm cloud next to her name? I just read that the Sphere is a $1.2 billion disaster. I know this because someone made a YouTube video about it. And you know, they don't lie on those YouTube videos, Adam.
You mean that they were over budget by that, or they're going to lose that much money, or?
Adam, there's no way in hell that I would ever click on that video because then my feed would just be filled with that shit. But I did see the headline. This is like, that's it. That's as far as it goes. I saw the headline.
The $1.2 billion
disaster.
Failure?
Yeah, failure.
Disaster.
Yeah, failure. It's like, I could probably find.
Well, it's awesome. I can tell you that. And they're building them all over the world now. there are multiple spheres being built. So.
Yep, right there. It's the number one, when you just type in the sphere, it's the number one result. How Las Vegas Sphere became a $2.3 billion failure.
Well.
It was published 2 weeks ago by the Business Circle.
Is it a failure?
I don't know. It's
eventually just, they'll make their money back.
There's a video. 368,000 people have watched the video to understand, you know, to get that answer.
Well, it's cool. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
So
I don't think I think I would enjoy the sphere. I just don't know that Wizard of Oz is the vehicle that I would.
Oh yeah, I just enjoy. Saw the nature show. Yeah. Whatever the Soarin' or whatever of you know,
like I'd go see Hanson, like Hanson at the Sphere. That'd be great.
Oh, okay, sure.
All right, Adam. I've got to run tomorrow.
Okay,
and you know, you got to get all ready for your trip on Sunday.
No, we're leaving tomorrow.
Oh, where is this marathon at? Or half?
Springfield.
Is it a half or is it a full? It's full.
It's a full.
It's full. So he's going to Springfield. Not the good one in Illinois, but the one in Missouri.
Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do the old, what's his time? I guess I could look it up on Strava, but what's his time been for training?
He's not too happy with his time right now. Strava is predicting 4 hours and 52 minutes.
Yeah.
And when he did the last marathon, he was at 4 hours and 7 minutes. So,
yeah, I feel like Strava is pretty much predicting that I would never fucking do it. It's just like, hey, you could do this in 3 hours. You could do this. But a marathon, no fucking way. You'll never do it. So don't worry. Don't even worry.
So we'll see. He has the goal to beat the Strava average the Strava prediction.
Okay.
That's his goal.
So he won one of the lottery entries. That's cool.
Yeah. To do the virtual and then that gets him into the,
yeah.
The yeah, real it's, one next year.
I was just reading about this the other day. I was just like, you know, running exploded during the pandemic. And now it's like all these big six marathons are just flooded with like, there can be, you know, 30,000 people that run the New York Marathon. And, but there's 2 million people that want it. So it's like, what do you do? You know, it's like, you have to do something to, accommodate that. You know, in Disney's case, same thing, right? I want to say there was 13,000 half marathon completers or something like that.
Cool.
But yeah, they went up to Corral G this time. Like it's not usually only goes to Corral E. However, the corrals were way bigger in the past. So I feel like they just made the corral smaller, but then added more. So anyway, all right. Good night, chat room. It was nice of you to
good night,
be
stream.
Here.
It was nice good of night, you, chat room.
It was nice of you guys to be here last week when no one was here. And I apologize that I didn't at least post.
You did,
I should have.
You did say. You
I know.
Just,
I should
it
have
was
posted.
Very quick.
I should have posted in Discord. Hey, remember, there's no show tonight or whatever. So anyway, yeah. Good night, everyone. Good night, level 13.
Good night, all.